Let's do it. Hello, makers. Welcome to Our Studio, a brand new branch of the Making Conversation podcast, where we chat all about making the app and the act. I'm Jen, head of marketing here at Making, and today I'm flying solo. I guess, pun intended, but technically we drove here. Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you've been listening to the past few episodes, you might have picked up on the fact that I live in Seattle. This last week, my partner and I packed up the Subi, the pups, and a few travel projects and hit the road to Palm Springs. We've been enjoying the sun and the warmth, but I also figured, is there a better time to record an episode about traveling and crafting? Probably not. So stick around for some travel tips and stories from the Making App community and more. I am always bringing my knitting while traveling, usually socks or a hat, but I had a lot of travel at the start of 2023 and lugged around my Blue Ridges sweater with me on flights. It definitely became a little much near the end as I was knitting the second sleeve. I would have to be very intentional with my packing and my carry-ons, especially if my dog Marcello was coming with, because when you travel with a dog on a plane, they count as a carry-on. But one of my favorite things is knitting and watching movies on a plane with a glass of wine. The last few flights, I've watched The Devil Wears Prada, Overboard with Goldie Hawn, A League of Their Own, and definitely rewatched some episodes of Schitt's Creek and caught up on some of the episodes of Drag Race that I had missed. This season is so amazing. And by the time this comes out, we're going to know who wins. But I will say Team Sasha Colby. Anyways, I also love that crafters come together on flights. I have had so many flight attendants bring up their projects and show me what they're working on, and we talk all about what we're doing. One time I was on a flight, I think it was to Austin, and the flight attendant came up and was like, oh my gosh, I craft too. I knit and I crochet. And then later brought over another person. This person was knitting and I want you all to talk about it. So we just chatted about the projects that we were working on. And it was just fun to connect like that way high up in the air. So, of course, I told them all about the Making App, but I have forgotten their name. So if you're listening, hi, I hope you're well. And I hope that you joined the Making App. One thing that my partner loves to do when we're traveling is to find a small local art store and snag a really special notebook. He'll then use the notebook to take notes on what we did in a day, use it for journaling, etc. But he will also sketch and draw and paint all around it and use it as a visual memory of the trip that we took. So right now, there's lots of palm trees and dogs, and it's been fun to see it all come together. You can find Lars in the Making App. His username is at Lentil. Lentil, again, is our brand mascot. Let's talk about the TSA and rules with certain crafting supplies. Now, if you are flying and you are taking any sort of crafting supply, check the TSA website or contact them to ensure that you are able to bring that item. I would hate for somebody to listen to this podcast down the line if some rule changes and we haven't updated this and go by our word. Definitely always check the TSA website. However, as of right now, needles, knitting and sewing, crochet hooks and yarn are all A-OK for flights, carry-on or checked. I feel like jury duty needs to take a page out of the TSA ruled book, but that's for another time. Scissors, on the other hand, you can bring scissors, but the blades have to be shorter than 4 inches. They can be in your carry-on bag. Scissors with blades that are longer than 4 inches should be packed with your checked luggage. I have a pair of tiny scissors that were part of a small notions kit that I bought way, way back when I first started knitting years ago. And I don't remember what it's called right now, but it is a miracle that I have never lost those scissors. So I totally recommend going and buying either a notions kit or a pair of scissors that you can travel with. They're also just great to keep in your project bag for normal, I'm going to go to a coffee shop or my favorite wine bar and bring my project with me and work on it. Having a small pair of scissors has always been helpful. Sewing machines. So yes, you can bring your sewing machine on a plane. Obviously, only for use at your destination, though. Just make sure to ask your airline if they allow them in the overhead bin or under the seat. Paints. So I love the idea of bringing paints with me when I travel because I can then create some art that reminds me of my vacation and the destination that I chose. So most paints and paint-related solvents are regulated as flammable liquids and are forbidden in carry-on or checked bags. But many, not all, many artist paints are non-flammable. And if they're not posing any other hazard, they may be carried on and checked in baggage. But remember, if you're adding them to your carry-on, they must be under 3.4 ounces and must be in a clear plastic baggie. Clay. So I got a few different answers here. On Twitter, at AskTSA says polymer clay isn't specifically mentioned in our prohibited items list for carry-on bags. However, our officers have the discretion to not allow them through security if it triggers an alarm system during the screening process or poses other security concerns. But also, they said modeling clay is good to go in carry-on bags. I think a good general rule of thumb is to contact the TSA or search their website if you're unsure, or also use this as an opportunity to find a really awesome local art store once you land at your destination and support a small business in the place that you are visiting. Of course, we have to talk about some things that made my heart happy in the making up this week. We love Sarah Weller. They have been working on a quilt that has been absolutely beautiful to see come together, posting each square as they're finished, and then finally posting the full quilt top that was done. Full Circle Wool Marie posted a photo of them holding a tiny, cute black lamb. Marie is wearing a hat and scarf made from the wool from the lamb's same flock. I literally cannot. And then What Trista Beaded, I actually was following from the Making Up account on TikTok for quite a while. And Trista finally made the jump into joining the Making Up. I have been so excited to see all of the amazing creations that Trista has been posting. They are an Indigenous artist who has been beading hats since April 2022. And the work that they do is beyond gorgeous. Let's talk Bright Collective. Bright Collective is our version of a local public radio drive. It's also kind of like when you join your favorite creator's Patreon to support them. We don't have ads in our app. And right now, as of this moment, to be honest, funding in the startup world is weird. So we're bootstrapping, and that includes Bright Collective. If you become a member to Bright Collective, not only are you supporting everything that we're building here at Making the App, this podcast, and more coming soon, but you're also joining a monthly community membership experience where content is delivered to your inbox in the Making App. This includes e-zines that have curated patterns, tutorials, essays, recipes, member discounts. There are special community events and more. Trust me, the recipe of the chickpea salad sandwich from this month is 100% worth it. If you decide that you're all in and you want to go for a yearly membership, it's only $10 a month. If you want to test the waters and dip a toe, you can try our month-to-month for $12. If you're able, please visit makingzine.com to find out more and become a member of Bright Collective. Of course, doing this research, I went to the TSA's Instagram. Here are a few things that the TSA has confiscated and posted about that could be considered grafting. Number one, a pen knife. That's right, one end pen and one end knife. Now, as a maker, it seems like it would be helpful to have such an item to, I don't know, maybe draw a still life of a sandwich and then also use that same tool to cut the sandwich in half for ease of consumption. But a pen knife, that's the thing that exists apparently. Number two, a handmade candle. So this one was confiscated in Boston. Somebody was bringing a handmade candle through TSA. They were like, this is a holiday gift. We're flying in December. We're going to gift this to our friend or family member. However, when they hand poured the wax into the candle, they also decided to add weed to the middle of it. Bringing pot on a plane ride is still considered illegal on a federal level, but if you want to bring your handmade candle sans weed on a holiday flight, that is A-okay. Number three. This one I was a little shocked about, but apparently you can travel with a full sheet cake. So somebody had brought a full sheet cake onto the flight. Now, I would be very stressed out the entire time. Does it fit under the seat? If it doesn't fit under the seat, if it's going to go in the overhead, are things going to shift too much and smoosh the cake? Why are we not just making a cake when we land or buying a cake when we land? I don't know, but apparently, yes, you can travel with a full sheet cake. And again, if you have any questions about what you can or can't bring, make sure to contact the TSA. You can text travel to ask TSA at 275-872 for live assistance from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. So a few episodes back, I talked a little bit about what I thought I was going to bring on the trip to work on craft-wise. Like, I can't go anywhere without something to work on. I ended up bringing the embroidery kit that I purchased from Stitch Happy, and it's called Tattooed Shoulders. I started it on the first part of our road trip, and it has been so much fun to work on. I have not done a lot of embroidery, but after this kit, I'm definitely going to be jumping into that a lot more. You can find them in the app at Stitch Happy, and definitely check out their embroidery kits because it is absolutely beautiful. So I put a little call to action in the Making App feed and asked our community if they had any crafting travel tips or any stories about crafting and travel. So this first one is from Daisy, who is at The Nomadic Mermaid. And they say, about 10 years ago, we went on a Caribbean cruise. Cruises have shopping advisors. So before we pulled into the port that was well known for shopping, I went and asked if he knew where I could buy yarn. I'm a big fan of souvenir yarn. That's Daisy saying that, not me. But I am also a big fan of souvenir yarn. Back to the story. He was astounded. He couldn't believe that I didn't care where the jewelry shops were and kept saying to my husband that he should buy me jewelry. Finally, my husband said, the only jewelry she's interested in is jewelry that she can make herself out of yarn. We left him dumbfounded. Unfortunately, we didn't find a yarn store, but we did have a good laugh. Jen at Happy Scrappy says, I usually bring socks or a hat to knit while I'm traveling. I did a knitting tour of Iceland a couple of years ago, and that was fantastic. I bought yarn and knit most of a yoke on the trip, then bought a whole other sweater's worth of yarn to knit a sweater the next time I went. I'm planning a trip in May right now and hope the podcast will be out for me to listen to folks' tips. Shayna at Shayna Corinne. For tips, I'd say not to take your most valued needles, tools, scissors, whatever. You never know it might get confiscated or lost by the airline. And if you have to lose something, losing your second best is preferable to then losing your best. And I've had things taken away that were definitely not against the rules, but you aren't going to win that argument against airport security and may not have the time to try either. That is such a bummer because I've never had an issue with that. I wonder who are these people that have issues? Also, never bring a project where you are working with multiple balls of yarn and don't have spare. I once had a ball of yarn escape from me on a plane during takeoff. That happened to me once. That totally happened to me. Luckily, the person behind me was very nice and helped me retrieve it. Okay, I once had a ball of yarn escape from me on a plane during takeoff. I never did find it and couldn't stay on the plane after landing to try and find it because I had a connection to make. Luckily, it wasn't a total disaster for my project, which had multiple colors anyway. But imagine if I lost a skein and needed it for a sweater and couldn't find the matching dye lot. Oh my gosh, that would be a true nightmare. Ashley, whose handle is Things I Felt Like Making. That's fun. I always pre-cut my embroidery floss before flying so I don't get my scissors confiscated at security. I learned that the hard way. I'm surprised at all these stories about the security taking things away when TSA has very clear rules. Anyways, Lisa, who is LWill100, I purchased yarn on Maui while on vacation from a Hawaii dyer and didn't do anything with it for several years. I found a shawl that was created by a Maine designer and knew I had a creation for my Hawaii yarn. I live in Oregon, and on a much-earned solo trip to the Oregon coast, I finished it. I call it my coast-to-coast shawl. I love that. Ryo Knits says, and I always check out if cities have MWBE pages first to look for stores and search knitting, crochet, yarn, craft, and all the words I can to make sure I don't miss a shop. This Dancer Knits says if it's a road trip, I will bring any project, big or small. As far as finding yarn shops, I use Needle Travel. It's an annual book that comes out with craft stores all over the country in the U.S. That's amazing. They update it each year to try and keep up with the new shops and shops that might have closed. Needle Travel includes all needle and fiber arts crafts, so quilting, knitting, spinning, weaving, crochet, and cross-stitch. Nancy P. says, "My son was on deployment with the Marines last year, visiting countries on the Baltic Sea. He was in Riga, Latvia. I did a Google search for yarn shops in Riga. I found one with good pictures, saw a mitten kit that I wanted. I texted him the address, and he went and bought me the exact kit that I wanted. The lady in the yarn shop was puzzled by his presence there, and he explained it was for his mom. She told him he was a good son." We agree, Nancy. You have an awesome son. Worthy Design Studio says, "I've brought a small crochet project on a trip with me before. But typical, it never got touched. A bit like when I bring a book. Usually I'm full of good intentions, but get distracted by wine." Okay, this makes total sense. I haven't picked up my embroidery project since we got here because I've been distracted, mostly because I have been working a little bit while I'm here, but I've been distracted by pool. And while I've seen people on the internet invent all of these different ways to continue to do their fiber arts while they're in the pool, I have not gotten to that point yet. Knit, Bake, Read, Repeat says, "I usually bring a knitting or crochet project along since they can travel so well, but I just started to explore embroidery and I'm excited for its travel friendliness too." We're in the same boat. "I don't bring a ton since I have a tiny human and books are a little easier to pick up and put down at this stage." Makes sense. Christina Y says, "On my family's recent road trip, I took along a whole crate full of yarn to work on my current sweater and sock projects, as well as more yarn to cast on a new pair of socks. Of course, I never so much as opened it during the trip. I was too tired to knit after all of our adventures." That is a theme. That is a theme I'm seeing here. Ellen says, "I'm an expert at finding yarn in bookshops on Google Maps. The best neighborhoods have them, so we plan our day around those." Then I asked Ellen if they have any tips or if they could share their expertise on finding the best yarn shops and parts of the city. And Ellen said, "Of course. Start by searching the city you're going to. When you're in that area, search yarn store. Google Maps show areas of interest highlighted in yellow. My top picks are shops in those areas. Then I scroll through the photos, etc., on the Google business page. Bonus, if there's a coffee shop nearby." Aaron Decker, "My best yarn-related travel story. I went to Ireland for my honeymoon, and I only packed my suitcase half full so I could bring home yarn with me. I bought a blanket's quantity of yarn in Dublin, and when I got home, I made a blanket using the stitch patterns common to fishermen sweaters, which are completely made up for tourists, by the way. And it is an excellent memento of a fantastic trip." And that concludes the Making App Community's travel stories and travel tips for crafting. One of my favorite crafty experiences actually happened in the Palm Springs Art Museum. So the first time I visited Palm Springs was with my friend Stacia, and we had been on this roll visiting at least one national park a year and decided it was finally time for Joshua Tree with a Palm Springs experience attached. So while we were in Palm Springs, we of course visited the art museum, as you do. And as we're walking upstairs, to the left was an older couple sitting on a bench. So they kind of startled me at first, and then I realized that they were just staring and not moving. I almost went to ask if they were okay, and then I saw it. The placard on the wall with the name of the artist. So that sculpture was called Old Couple on a Bench. Old Couple on a Bench is a hyper-realistic sculpture created by the American artist Dwayne Hansen in 1981. The sculpture depicts two elderly people sitting side by side on a park bench, with the man holding a newspaper and the woman clutching a purse on her lap. The figures are dressed in ordinary clothing, with the woman wearing a floral dress and the man wearing a plaid shirt and khaki pants. The materials used to make the sculpture are bronze, polychromed in oil, and mixed media. To make the sculpture, Hansen first cast live models in plaster, capturing every detail of their facial features, skin texture, and body shape, and then use these casts to create molds in fiberglass. Once the molds were made, Hansen carefully painted each figure to make them appear as realistic as possible. He paid close attention to the skin tones, wrinkles, and other details, using airbrushing and hand-painting techniques to achieve the desired effect. He also added real clothing and accessories to the figures, further enhancing their lifelike appearance, and created a realistic-looking park setting around them. That part was not there in the museum, hence I thought that they were real people. The end result is a sculpture that looks so lifelike that it's difficult to distinguish from real people sitting on a bench. Yeah, no kidding. This is what happened to me. Real life, it happened. Hansen was born in 1925 in Minnesota and grew up in a rural farming community. After serving in the Army in World War II, Hansen studied art at the University of Washington in Seattle and then at the Cranbrook Academy of Art in Michigan. Hansen began his career as a traditional sculptor, but he soon became interested in creating lifelike figures that were so realistic they could be mistaken for real people. As we've said, okay, come on. His work was often controversial, as some people found the realism unsettling or even disturbing. Now, I don't know that I would say disturbing, but it was definitely an experience that I will never forget, because I literally almost talked to sculptures to see if they were okay in the Palm Springs Art Museum. Luckily, nobody was around us, so if I would have, only Stacia would have been like, "Are you okay, Jen?" We are going to visit the Palm Springs Art Museum during this trip. Each city has a beautiful art museum and also smaller galleries, so I highly recommend anytime you go on a trip to visit at least one of them. Two things that I'm excited to see here at the Palm Springs Art Museum that's happening right now. So the first is called the Outburst Project. So Outburst Projects are small format exhibitions that the artist typically creates following a residency at the Palm Springs Art Museum. The program is designed to support creative exploration, allowing artists to experiment with new bodies of work. So this particular Outburst Project is called Reflections, and the artist is Taj Rust. The other part that I'm really excited to see, besides just wandering around the museum and looking at all the amazing art, so there's a photography series by Michael Childers, and it is called Flaming Creatures. So directly from the Palm Springs Art Museum website. Radiating a cheeky playfulness in their high-style ball gowns, tuxedos, feather boas, and top hats, these attendees of the 1975 Los Angeles Drag Ball are documented in Michael Childers' photographs. In this series, Michael captures the amusing gender play and gestures of mischievous defiance that reflect the Southern California gay community in the 1970s. By shining a light on the fragility of gender categories, and the pleasure of self-expression, Michael here anticipates our present era of transgender awareness and gender fluidity. Definitely look up both of these artists, and hopefully I'll be able to snap a few photos and share them in the app as well. So we want to know, do you have a favorite art museum experience from your travels? Post about it in the Making Out feed or send us a note at hq@makingco.com. As always, we close out with a moment of gratitude. This week, I am super grateful for my chosen family. I absolutely love the family that I was born into. Shout out to my mom and my sister. However, there's always something special about your chosen family. And this week, I'm getting to spend time with a few of them. There's nothing like being in a space where you just feel so much love, acceptance, happiness, laughter. It's just been so wonderful. I'm sure we're all a little high on the sun, as the first few days of Palm Springs, it was like 95 degrees and none of us are used to that right now. It's been so wonderful to have time just surrounded by people I love and who love me back. And dogs, always dogs. What are you grateful for this week? Go ahead and post them in the Making app with hashtag Making Conversation. All right, y'all, it's pool time. We'll see you next week. Wait, one more thing. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to share this podcast with other crafty, creative makers in your life, we would truly appreciate it. If you want to go one step further and leave a rating and review, we would be super grateful. Everything that we do here at Making is with our heart and soul, and we hope that you've been loving the new episodes that we've been putting out. Again, if you have any feedback, ideas for future podcast episodes or segments, if you have any shout outs that you want to hear on the podcast, send us a note at hq@makingco.com. To join the amazing community of makers in the Making App, head to themakingapp.com to download and sign up, or head to your favorite app store and search Making. You can listen to the Making Conversation podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Of course, we'd love for you to subscribe and share with your friends. But also, did you know that you can listen to the Making Conversation podcast in the Making App? Open up the Making App and click Discover. Scroll down to Podcasts and you'll see all current and past podcasts listed there. You can listen while you scroll the feed, post details in a project, search through the marketplace, or even just have it out while you're working on your favorite whip. If you've made it this far and you're interested in sponsoring Making Conversation, send us a note at hq@makingco.com and we'll be in touch. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the Making App.